We're talking this week about parties, whether to avoid them or use them in the training process.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this week we're preparing teens for social interaction, and we obviously prepare our children when they're small with little things here and there. And once they get to teens, it's a whole different ball game. But there are things that you can do to use parties, like you say, for their development.
So you're a mom and you have teens and your oldest comes and says, can I go to a party? The emotional, mom, I got invited to a party at school. And the emotion for you behind that decision is what?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, who is it? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah.
Those are typical questions. What kind of person is this? And the problem is they're starting a new school. So now they have new friends. And I don't know these friends. Mm-hmm. And it's a little scary. And I want him to have fun. I want him to make friends at school. This is a public school, though. Mm-hmm. So most of them are not Christian. So yeah. There's a whole other risk here. And I kind of cringe. I'm willing to do the homework if I have to, but it does take a little bit of homework.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Parties are a scary thing, and you pop something in there that's interesting. I don't think the assignment is different, whether it's homeschool, Christian school, or public school. I think we make a lot of assumptions about Christian school and the kids at Christian school.
True.
I've been to some Christian school basketball games. They weren't a whole lot different than the public school basketball.
Christian.
Yeah. So I think that there's work to be done, and I think there's risk to take place here. I like thinking through Moses's mom. I wonder if she considered running away with this child. She gets the child back until he's weaned, and only in heaven will we know how old that is. And then she turns him over to a public school. I mean, she turns him over to a pagan daycare center at Pharaoh's palace. And you know the risk involved. So I think there's a lot of prayer involved for parents on this. I think one of the bigger issues is in the two-parent home, there is a lot of discussion to be had. Typically in the two-parent home, there will be a parent that's all in and there will be a parent that's not in.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, and I confess, I was very gendered about many of my decisions. And I'm saying this as Tori, my daughter, sitting here in the studio, who is now an adult and a parent and smarter than me on parenting. And I was very... could I just keep Tori home and send Roby to the parties?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a boy at parties.
Right.
And so setting an arena, not only to win, but to train, required some risk. And it's a scary risk in this culture today in general. It's scary. So I think we have to see the purpose. And we're going to repeat the purpose every day. But the purpose is training, using parties for training, not just using parties for social interaction, not just using parties so they can have friends, but also seeing them as a training opportunity. And if we see them as a training opportunity, we'll be more in. Why are we doing it? We're training them with the party. And then we've got to decide, like you said, okay, my oldest is at a new school, and he's coming home with a party invitation. What do we do? I think we decide that we've done a little training already on dealing with peer pressure, and some of that can be done financially, and some of that can be done as we're looking at their cyber interactions, as we're looking at them on Facebook, and we have their password to their Facebook whatever, and we're seeing what they're doing, and they know we have their password, and we may have to promise, I'll never go on, I will never post anything, I'm not to embarrass you, but I love you. Well, you don't trust me. I do trust you. I just don't trust everything else out there.
Which they never buy, but it's true.
Fact is fact. Sorry. They never bought that they needed a booster shot either, but
right. We
were all in on that. I'm there. And why are we risking this? It's not about the party. It's all about the training. And then we have to have, for the two-parent home, the discussion on coming to the middle on a plan.
Yeah.
Challenging.
And that's where your marriage comes into play and how you work things out, how you're going to, both together with different philosophies, find middle ground to establish, you know, a standard there for your child.
And part of that test we're doing, if one of us is overly protective, which makes the other one overly permissive,
mm-hmm.
and we bring that out in each other. And if I get overly, then she gets overly permissive, and we're further apart rather than coming to the middle here. We want to come up with a plan, and then we want to present it to the child, and then we want to do the work, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think the plan initially is decide when they're ready. I'm going to say something that is not gospel. I'm going to say something that everybody has to decide, and I am different on this. I had different ages for each of my children when they went to parties. I had different ages in my mind for when they went to parties. I had different ages, not just for maturation, but for gender.
Now, you're talking about parties to drop them off and leave them off.
Yes, I am.
For, okay.
Yeah, we're going to get to that because 1,600 people just turned us off right there. Yeah, that'll never happen, Jack. Yeah, but it's a training. It's a training. But we're going to get to how you select that party. But before we select that party, we have to select, are they ready? Mm-hmm. Girls tend to go, especially teenage girls, tend to go to parties where older boys show up. Mm-hmm. Boys tend to go to parties not where older girls show up. There's a little bit of a battlefield here. Boys tend to go to parties where there will be them, their age group, and a little younger. And so I'm not even going to look at Tori when I say we kind of cut loose on her a little later than him. And I know some of it is gender bias, and overly protective dad. I'm sorry. So that decision we made a little differently.
So you're saying it wasn't so much a maturity level, issue as it was, okay, she's female and the way parties run based on the gender difference?
Well, I think that boys tend to show up at parties where there are girls their age and younger. Why would I show up as a 16-year-old? Why would I show up at a party where there's 18-year-old girls? They're not going to have any interest in me, but I will show up at parties where there's 16, 15, and 14-year-old girls. And so there's a different maturation intensity at a party. So that's one of the things. But part of it is also decide when. And did I hear from my children that's not fair? It didn't faze me. That was okay. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm not always right. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the best I can. But the next step was the filtering of the party. And the filtering of the party, if one of the children would come home and say, I got invited to a party, can I go? I'd say, absolutely. I don't see a phone number here. Where's the phone number? And when my child would say, you're not going to call, are you? And, my basic thought process is, no, I won't call unless you want to go to the party. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me whether I'm calling or not. If you want to go to the party, I'll call. If you don't want to go to the party, great. I don't have to call. So you tell me, am I calling? I'm assuming you're coming home with this. I mean, why would I not call? And this is the most bizarre thing to me. Never has there been a time in my life where I got a postcard from somebody saying, I'd like to use your car Friday night. You don't know me. Can you just drop it off in my driveway and leave the keys in my mailbox? And so I can use your car Friday night and then come back and get your car at midnight. I've never done that. Is my car more valuable to me than my children? Mm. Not even close. So why wouldn't I do my homework here? No, I am going to make the call, and I'm going to make the call to begin the interaction with this person who is assuming the role of chaperone at this party. I would just kind of gently ask some questions to see if this person is up to the task of chaperoning. Mm-hmm. In 35 years in the counseling room, I wish I could tell you how many women said to me, this journey, this nightmare began at a party when I was in high school. Wow. The first tragedy that got me where I am today with this area of difficulty or dysfunction started at an unchaperoned party in high school. So you are, Mr. Smith, taking a responsibility for the most precious thing in my life and the only thing I'll be held accountable for when I die. When I die, Sheridan House will remember me for about an hour and a half. And the only thing I'm remembered for is who begat who. That's it. Yeah. It's very interesting in the Bible when you look at the only thing we know about these names is they were begat by this person. He was begat by this person. And it's not that they built this, bought that, or wrote this. Mm-hmm. So this is what I take with me to heaven. I'm not taking bricks. And so we need to see the seriousness of who's chaperoning the party. If it's your au pair or a nanny or a sister who's home from college, thank you very much. We'll pass on this one. Mm-hmm. I need to have a parent who's saying they're going to be there. They're all in. And then I have to have my questions that I'm mm-hmm. going to ask this parent. Mm-hmm. And it starts with a phone number.
Right. And you'll share those questions tomorrow?
I'll share those questions anytime you want. But the question everybody wants to ask is this. I was actually asked this yes in another taping yesterday. Do you have your children there when you ask these questions? Mm. And I really do now think they ought to be sitting right there because they're going to be a parent one day. Somebody asked me, when you do the ICE program with your kids, do you say, here's your instruction, and here's your consequence, and now I'm going to let you exercise decision-making? How else will they figure out parenting? You know, my dad, and this is a little different scenario, but my dad, every Christmas, took us shopping. Just the boys. When my mom was alive, it was just the boys. And we went into New York City and into Macy's. And we lived outside of New York City. And we went in, and the first thing he did was took us to the Chattanooga Chew Burger. Mm-hmm. And we each got a burger that arrived on a train.
Awesome.
A Lionel train. It was awesome. It was awesome. And then we went to Macy's, and he bought a nightgown for my mom right in front of us. It was devastating. I was so embarrassed. And one time he actually held it up next to him and said, "What do you think?" And I remember that like it was yesterday, just to embarrass us even further. And so he did that, and that's it. And we left. And every Christmas he bought a nightgown for my mom while we were with him. I never knew what he was doing. I never knew until about the sixth or seventh Christmas when I looked at Rosemary and said, I obviously didn't knock it dead, did I? And she said, "No, this was a wonderful Christmas." And I said, "Well, what could have made it better? Nothing." And after I probed and probed, "Well, if you would have purchased something for me to let me know I'm still sexy to you, that would have been a great Christmas." And that's the first time I realized that's what he was doing. Mm. He was training, but he wasn't labeling it as training. If he would have taken us into the city and said, "Boys, I'm going to do something I know embarrasses you, but when you're married, you will understand it. Let your wife know she's still sexy. Buy her a nightgown or something like that."
Mm-hmm.
I think we do sometimes some great parenting. We just don't label it so our kids don't get it.
So you're almost like saying, "I'm going to parent with my child, in front of my child, and let them be exposed to the entire process so that they can repeat it as well."
Perfect. I'm going to label it as is. It's very interesting that a word my daughter hated all her life was the word appropriate. And how many times I have heard her use that now in her working with teenage girls.
And the same story.
Yes, yes. And I this is the first time I've ever gotten since she's sitting in here to rub it in her face. I hate that word appropriate. And now she uses it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would say to my child, "Sit right here. I'm going to make the call." "Oh, you're embarrassing me so badly." "I'm not going to embarrass you. It's going to be a fun phone call. But I want you to be here with the phone call because you're going to be a..." "I will never do it." "You might not, but at least I will know you know how to do this."
Now, Dr. Bob, you're a funny guy, but not everybody is as funny. And sometimes I don't know how I can make that phone call a fun phone call. And sometimes there are moments where you talk about some things being fun and I'm like, I just don't know how to make this fun.
I know, but if it's not fun, I'm already embarrassed making the phone call. I'm already dreading the phone call. It's not as much as I'm dreading walking into the party. I hated that. I'm already dreading this. So I use humor more when I'm dreading something as my escape from the whatever it is. But, you know, and I'm going to say to the guy with my child sitting right there, I'm going to dial the phone and say, "Hey, my name is Bob Barnes, and I want to thank you for inviting me. I got this invitation here, and I got your phone number. I wanted to just thank you. First of all, I just want to thank you for inviting my child to the party. And then I want to say, wow, I'm a little bit neurotic, and some might say overly protective, but can I just ask you some questions?"
Tori's cracking up because she remembers here, all those calls.
Oh, yes. She dreaded it. Roby just slept through all these moments. Yes. But I just got to ask some questions. And I want to begin this conversation by letting him kind of know there is a dad connected to this child that's going to be at your party.
Yeah.
And there's parents that love her very much. And so even though my child is sitting in the fetal position on the floor while I'm making this phone call, absolutely gasping for air, thinking, "I don't ever, if this is what it takes, I don't want to ever go to a party. I'm going to be laughing." And 99% of the time, the man or woman on the other end is also laughing and thinking to themselves, "I do want to meet you." So I want to start with making the connect. We would never hire a babysitter that we haven't talked to. You know, we don't call random numbers in the phone book. "Hey, let's go to that one right there. Will you babysit?" We don't ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start with the connect. So as we talk through parties this week, let's talk through, get the phone number, make the call, have your questions, and tomorrow we will look at some of those questions.
Okay, we're looking forward to that. So I hope you tune in at this time for another edition of Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, what it's all about, or more on this topic and resources available by Dr. Bob Barnes, you can go online to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. You can also hear this broadcast all over again. Share it with your friends, family, and fellow parents. And you can sign up for the parenting blog online at parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org.